After another nearly four and a half million Americans applied for unemployment last week, bringing the climbing number of jobless claims to more than 25 million in just 5 weeks. That means in the last month, the pandemic has cost the jobs of one out of six workers in this country. These new jobs numbers come as House representatives, many of them wearing masks, debated nearly half a trillion in additional aid for small businesses. Some lawmakers rose to speak about local mom-and-pop shops, like a shoe repair store, in the district of Florida Republican Gus Bilirakis.
It would be a great tragedy if we lost them. They've survived World War II, of course, World War I, and the Great Depression. Let's save our small businesses. They are the backbone of America.
Meanwhile, a more detailed picture is emerging, showing the extent of COVID-19 infections. In his daily briefing today, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo estimated that some 14% of his state could have already been infected based on limited antibody tests. But the infection rates varied a lot from region to region.
Upstate New York is 3.6%. New York City is 21%. What you do in a place with 21% is not the same thing necessarily that you would do in a place with 3.6%. It's just not. It's the same theory that some states open now and New York doesn't, because the facts should dictate the action.
Just a hint of the complexity that mayors and governors will face as they strive to reopen cities and states. All right, for more on all of this, I want to bring in now NPR science correspondent Richard Harris, chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley, and congressional correspondent Kelsey Snell. Hey to all three of you.
Hi there.
Good evening.
Hello.
All right, Kelsey, let's start with you. This legislation that we're mentioning is being called a stopgap to refill the small business loans that ran out after less than 2 weeks. So could you just tell us more about this? How is more money now going to get to people and the businesses who need it?
Yeah, we are in extraordinary times where $221 billion is a stopgap. It's been really just extraordinary to see. And this is the first time House members have been all called to Washington since mid-March. And those face masks that were mentioned, people were wearing them almost universally. It was a new system of spacing members out as they voted and debated. It was just really extraordinary to watch. Members had to come to the floor in small groups, and it's taking them hours to get anything done. It's been really interesting to see what Congress looks like in this time of coronavirus. And we even watch members disinfecting the tables and microphones between speakers. Wow. I just want to kind of let people know where we're at here. In just 8 weeks, Congress has approved almost $2.8 trillion in spending. That's more than the entire two-year budget agreement they got last year and more than the total revenue that the Treasury brings in a normal year. And that means there's kind of a lot to oversee. And part of the debate today was about whether or not there would be this new committee to oversee basically how the money is spent. There have been allegations of misuse of the original $350 billion that were set aside for small businesses. And so now we're going to see Congress figure out how they oversee the spending of this money and how they look back on how the money was already spent.
Okay. Well, while lawmakers work through that, Scott, I want to go to you on these job numbers. Tell us, with these new job numbers, who is affected by, these millions of new jobless claims?
Elsa, it's really a wide swath of the workforce that's affected. The 4.4 million filings last week was actually down about 15% from the previous week, although still extremely high by historical standards. And when you have one out of six workers suddenly unemployed in the course of a month, you're obviously talking about a lot of different kinds of workers who are being affected. Yeah. It does seem like we saw fewer layoffs in bars and restaurants in the most recent reporting period, but only because so many of those jobs had already been cut in earlier weeks. We continue to see job losses in construction, in manufacturing, in all kinds of services, and a little surprisingly, in healthcare. That's usually a pretty recession-proof industry, but a lot of doctors who don't treat COVID-19 patients have been closing their offices. Hospitals have been canceling elective surgeries. So even in the midst of a healthcare crisis, some healthcare workers are filing for unemployment.
And I'm curious, these new numbers, are they actually new filings or are they people from the previous 4 weeks who were finally able to get through to their state's unemployment offices? I mean, do we even know?
It's probably some combination. You know, as the number of new filings declines, states are making some headway with the backlog. Some of those 4.4 million who filed last week may have been out of work before that, and last week's just when they finally got through. Others are perhaps newly unemployed. One thing forecasters look at is Google searches on how do I apply for unemployment, and while the number of those searches has come down, people are still Googling, so we can assume those are people who are kind of new to the unemployment line.
Yeah.
Remember, too, Congress has changed the rules so more people are now eligible to file for unemployment, gig workers, self-employed people, that kind of thing. It's taken a while, though, to implement that change. So at the state level, a lot of states are just beginning to process those claims, even if the people have been out of work for longer.
Okay, Richard, let's turn to you. As we mentioned, Governor Cuomo in New York announced some pretty startling numbers today about just how far the coronavirus has spread there. Where is he getting his data?
Well, the state of New York took about 3,000 blood samples from across the state and looked for antibodies to the coronavirus. You know, people produce antibodies after they've been infected. The sample wasn't ideal. All the people were over the age of 18, and they were all out and about at grocery stores and the like. And the study isn't published, so no one can really review it. But the survey did find a lot of past exposure to coronavirus. In New York City, 21% of the samples were positive. Here's the governor in his news conference talking about the statewide average.
If the infection rate is 13.9%, then it changes the theories of what the death rate is if you get infected.
Because with a much bigger pool of infected people, the 15,000 people who died, in about 0.5% of people infected with coronavirus have died.
Wait, so this sounds like good news. I mean, it's less deadly than people had thought, right?
That's right, but the figure still makes it 5 times more deadly than a case of the flu. And the figure is even worse than that because New York hasn't really counted all of its deaths yet. And unfortunately, it does not mean we can relax social distancing. In fact, you could actually argue the opposite.
Wait, why is that?
Because this tells you that a lot of the spread of this disease has been happening silently. I talked to Lauren Ansel Myers, a scientist at the University of Texas in Austin, about this today.
This just confirms that this thing spread very extensively in a short amount of time when we were going about life as normal. And the primary reason why New York is maybe has kind of, you know, gotten the situation under control is because we social distance.
She says if New York lets up on social distancing too soon, this silent spread will return and the city could just face another agonizing battle with the disease.
Okay, that I understand. But what I want to know is, are people with antibodies immune from the coronavirus at this point?
Yeah, that's something everybody wants to know because scientists don't know. It's possible that they are. And if it turns out that they are, that means that now 14% of New Yorkers could conceivably relax a bit. If individuals could get reliable tests, which is also a big question mark at the moment. But it also tells us that even in hard-hit New York, there's a long way to go before the majority of people are out of danger, assuming these antibodies do signal that people have at least temporary immunity.
Okay, well, speaking of places like New York that saw such a huge outbreak, I want to turn to Scott Horsley again. Is there any correlation between states with the worst outbreaks like New York and where we are seeing the most jobless claims?
No, there's not a real clear pattern. New York has suffered the biggest medical hit from the pandemic, and unemployment claims are still going up there. But you've got states with growing unemployment claims and relatively low numbers of coronavirus cases. You've got states with a lot of COVID-19 where jobless claims are going down. Unemployment seems to be more correlated with, you know, just the kinds of industries that are prevalent in various states and the share of the workforce that is or is not able to work from home.
Okay. Meanwhile, lawmakers are still trying to crank through legislation. So, Kelsey, back to you. You know, even before they finished writing the most recent relief package, there were talks about getting started on yet another round of aid. What do we know about those plans?
Well, first, to correct myself very briefly, I said 221. It is $321 billion on this current bill. And
wow.
It's an even larger number. But earlier this week, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he wanted to take a pause on talks for the next round of funding. He's criticized the idea of using federal dollars to prop up state budgets. But Democrats want major changes to protections for essential workers, more food aid, and possibly some infrastructure spending to help people get back to work.
All right, let's leave it there. That is Congressional Correspondent Kelsey Snell. We also heard from Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley and NPR Science Correspondent Richard Harris. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.